How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for a new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
You are Locked On Lakers, your daily podcast on the Los Angeles Lakers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.
Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. I am joined, as always, by Harrison Fagan, who once again decided he'd yell wait right as soon as I was going to go the first time around. So, Harrison...
A tradition unlike any other.
Do you think people, like, understand... Because you're the Spock one, right? So, like, do you think people understand that, like, you can make jokes?
I make jokes every single podcast.
It's... Yeah.
That wasn't a joke. I was actually asking you to stop, and then you, because I wanted to tell you something.
Except we went live a second later.
Well, then I told you the thing, and then we went live. This is an awesome start to the show.
I forgot what the thing was already. Anywho, awesome. we're gonna play a game for the show.
It's called Fake News. That was what I stopped to tell you, and I'm just gonna go ahead and take the reins here. So we're gonna play a game called Fake News, where Anthony, who doesn't pay attention to the quotes that come out from practice right as they happen, like he like consumes those later through me, basically. He doesn't know what people have been saying. Yeah, that was poorly phrased, but whatever. He doesn't know what people have been saying, so I came up with like a couple real narratives and a couple fake narratives, and he's going to tell me which ones he thinks are real things that people said and which ones are fake things that people said, and then for the real ones, we're going to discuss them a little bit and whether or not we believe them.
Yep. As always, find the show on Audioboom, iTunes, TuneIn, Stitcher, and today's Fast Break. Oh, and Alexa and Spotify. I got to get used to saying those things. I need to turn on the air conditioner in this room.
Banner start once again for Locked On Lakers.
Absolutely.
So should we just get right into the fake news?
Yeah, let's what's number one?
Okay, so number one is Larry Nance Jr. said more guys are buying into defense this year. They're caring about their technique and their form.
I don't believe him.
Well, do you believe that that's real?
Yes.
Yes, he did actually say that. Now, this kind of goes back to what we were talking about yesterday, right? Where they can make all of these changes and they can care about these things, and it just may not matter that much for this season.
See, like the thing, if I was there and I was able to give a follow up, like I wouldn't be able to help myself. I think I would ask. Hey, the coaching staff is the same exact coaching staff, essentially, that you guys had last year. Couldn't you guys have learned and paid attention and done these things in the offseason, too? Like, why did it take the first day of training camp to get back to the basics of understanding how to slide properly?
Well, I mean, I'm sure they were working. I think that's a little bit disingenuous to think that they weren't working on it at all over the summer. I'm sure they were working on it, but this is the first time that every single person has been together.
Yeah, all right.
And I'm sure that they were working on more than defensive slides. I think they were probably working on like specific rotational fundamental things that they want guys to do on defense.
I kind of want to know like if there was ever a moment where people were learning things that, you know, are just it would be funny to hear them learn them for the first time. Like Jordan Clarkson finding out, "Hey, it's probably not best to cross your feet a bunch on defense."
You know? Oh, and just like having their minds blown, like, wait, what?
Wait, I have to face that way on defense?
Like, my coach during my rookie year was wrong, and it's not just about hustle? Like, I thought I was the best defender in the league because I was just running a lot.
Do you think? I'm picturing, yeah, you've seen Semi-Pro, right?
Yeah.
Like, I'm going Rover. No, don't go Rover. I'm going Rover, coach. No, but just imagine the first practice that Luke put together, especially defensively, and everybody's minds were blown because he didn't say man up once.
But like, yeah, he didn't emasculate us a single time. I didn't throw up today.
Yeah.
This is so weird. Nobody threatened me to a fist fight. He talked to the rookies.
Amazing. All right.
That was last year. I mean, this year they were probably used to that. Like, Lonzo Ball is probably like, they're probably telling him, like, the older, the quote unquote veterans are probably telling him some
horror
stories.
Back in my day.
Yeah. We had to push a stroller around with an infant baby in it because, ha ha ha, that's not what men do.
D'Angelo Russell snitched on Nick
Young.
That's
probably how Julius Randle and Larry Nance Jr. actually talk when they're telling, like, veteran stories. They actually sound like old veterans of, like, the Civil War.
A campfire just pops up out of nowhere.
Let me tell you something, Rook.
Remember D'Angelo Russell? He snitched on Nick Young just so he could get detention and not have to slide.
Now nobody records all of our practices.
He initially recorded us to help us out, but it took a wrong turn.
I wonder if they're confused that the camera guys are still there and they just thought that was like D'Angelo's operation.
Especially now that Lonzo Ball has his like Facebook show.
Yeah, they're like, oh God, more cameras. This point guard's worse. Anyway, we should probably move on to the next topic of fake news.
All right.
So, Luke Walton says Lonzo Ball looks like a shutdown defender in practice.
The funny thing is, like, if you would have said Magic, I would have said, oh my God, I can't believe he actually said that. But I'm saying fake news. I don't think
that. Damn it! I should have said Magic. That would have been so much smarter. You're right. I should have done that.
Yeah, I would have believed you if you would have said Magic.
No, okay, but to take this back to reality, people did. They were very complimentary of Lonzo. The people have been complimentary of Lonzo's defense over the last couple games. Do you think that there's any chance he's a good defender in his not a good defender, but like an okay-ish almost defender in his rookie year just because of, you know, just his length and kind of the way that he always gets on loose balls and just has a knack for finding deflections and just makes the winning play all the time. I'm just getting into platitudes to just irritate you. But no, but do you think that there's any chance that he's actually a decent defender? Because I do think that there might be times where he helps defensively because he seems to have the right mindset about it. He was talking about how defense is it's not just a one person thing, especially not when you're the point guard. It's like a team thing. And the way that he plays team, like his best defense part, at least coming in, has been team defense, not one-on-one defense. And so I do think that he will have his merits defensively this year. Although, I mean, he's not going to be like a shutdown defender. I think he might be okay, though.
I think the best way to put it is to say he'll be a good rookie defender.
Yeah.
Like, if you grade on that scale, I think he'll be good compared to most rookies for the reasons that you gave. He's a better athlete than people give him credit for. And the other thing, too, like the way he approaches the game, he makes sure to keep everything as simple as possible, right? He doesn't try to do too much. You see it in the way he outlets and he kicks the ball up the court. Like, that's something that somebody does in order to make the game easier on themselves and on their teammates. And I don't think, you know, if he's guarding, say, Ricky Rubio, well, Rubio isn't Rajon Rondo, for example. So if he's guarding Rajon Rondo, he's not going to get up and pressure Rajon Rondo because he knows at this point, as everybody should, that Rondo is never going to shoot anything outside of 7 feet or so, right?
I'll have you know that Lakers front office apologists dug up some stats showing that he shot threes better than D'Angelo Russell. So when the Lakers were thinking about maybe signing Rondo and they needed to justify it to themselves.
Yeah, no, it's weird how sometimes that kind of spin
unguarded from the corner when given 700 seconds to shoot, Rajon Rondo is shooting 9,000% from the field, actually. So you're just an idiot who doesn't understand analytics.
Yep, that's I am anti-math. But yeah, I think it's perfectly within the realm of possibility that he comes out and is better than the average rookie point guard defensively.
Okay. Yeah.
Which isn't saying much because they tend to be terrible, but
yeah, I mean they tend to be like absolute dog crap, but yeah. Like Lonzo could be better than dog crap.
Mhm. Altogether possible.
Yes. Okay, so let's get into the next one. Kyle Kuzma says he doesn't see any reason he can't continue to shoot 48% from three.
I'm cheating because I saw this and I saw the video and I thought, you know, usually when you see something wild or you hear something wild like this, there's kind of like a wink, wink, like, you know. But he was completely serious.
He was 100% deadpan. That was the scariest thing about it. I don't know that I believe anymore that he won't shoot 48% from the field.
And his reasoning behind it was...
There was zero hesitation when he gave that answer.
His reasoning behind it was that it's the same ball, it's the same distance. Like, yeah, I guess, sure.
That was it. That was the Derek Fisher, they put their pants on one leg at a time, too, speech of I can play small forward.
Yeah, exactly. Let's ignore the context of how much faster defenders are in the NBA than they are in Vegas. But sure, you got this, Kyle.
Yeah, so, I mean, there's I think... It is interesting that they've been having him play some small forward over the summer, and it sounds like they think he can do it. And I guess, of course, they're going to say that they think that he can do it because they're trying it. And so why would they be like, yeah, no, we're trying this thing, but he's probably going to suck.
This is me being completely realistic here, being completely serious, deadpan, all of these good things, right?
Kuzma-esque, serious, and confident.
He can't be much worse than Luol Deng playing the three. And if you look past Luol Deng, how many other backup small forwards do the Lakers have? So if
they have Corey Brewer, who also very much is of the I'm going to go rover coach and just like run the time.
His turbo button is stuck.
Yeah.
But if you look at the Lakers roster and you look at guys who, especially as the year goes along and they start giving guys different looks, it's in Kyle Kuzma's best interest to he's not going to whine about playing the small forward. Minutes are minutes, but B, be decent at it. If he's decent to playing the small forward, that allows him to leapfrog both Brewer and Luol Deng and get some backup minutes behind Brandon Ingram. I when people ask me how could he find minutes in the rotation, this is really the only way.
Yeah, I think that would be huge for him. But the thing is I don't think people are taking into account just how big of an ask this is. Mm-hmm. And sure, he has the skills to where you think maybe he could kind of masquerade as a small forward, even if that won't be his best position ultimately. And like, he's quick laterally, he shoots relelatively well, or he shoots 48% from three until proved otherwise. And so there's reason to think he could play the wing. But what's important to keep in mind, I think, is that he's never played the wing before. He's been a big man his whole career. And so to expect him to come in and be some like facsimile of a usable NBA wing as like his first time ever playing the position, I don't know, against the best players he's ever played against and in a system he's never played in before and all those caveats, to expect him to come in and play well in that environment, I think might be too much to ask.
And, you know, further context to the point that you're making as well, the vast majority of small forwards, even the elite ones, are better at the power forward. You go down the line, LeBron is better at the power. Like, the team gets better when he slides down to the four. The team gets better when Kevin Durant slides down to the four or the five. You know, the Pacers.
Skilled wings is where it's at.
Yeah, I mean, that's so to expect somebody come into the NBA and go from the four to the three and reverse that. That type of strategy is a lot to ask. I would completely agree. But again, that doesn't necessarily mean that this isn't still the best way for him to get minutes. It's just unfortunate that that's how crowded the Lakers front court is right now.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And actually, speaking of crowded front court, that actually brings us to our next segment on fake news. And so this one, Lonzo Ball was asked what has surprised him most, and he said that he hasn't seen Ivica miss a three yet.
Wait, who said he hasn't seen Ivica miss a three?
Lonzo was asked what surprised him most so far after 2 days, and he said that he hasn't seen Zubats miss a three yet during like their practices.
Gosh, this could actually be feasible. Like, I could... Because guards don't shoot with bigs typically, right? So he could just look over every so often and, hey, Zubats made another three. I'm going to say not true. I don't think that actually happened.
Damn it. I thought I had you on that one.
It was close.
Okay, so that quote is not real, but there is a real one that Larry Nance Jr. did say that Ivica Zubac looks night and day between this time last year, now, and that he's ready for this fast-paced style of play.
Did you see they're calling him 8% body fat? Like, that's his...
The funniest thing is that Luke Walton had to explain to him that was them making fun of him. That was the best part about it. He's like, because Ivica, I guess, came up to Luke Walton, and he's like, yeah, coach, because you know I used to be 19%. And he's like, yeah, Ivica, that's why we're saying it. Which is like, wait, the most Zubac story ever. That's fantastic.
I want to know, like, did he think they were calling him fat by continually pointing out his body fat?
No, I think he thought that they were just applauding him and how impressive his 8% body fat was. And like that it wasn't in reference to it being higher before.
I love Zubac.
Oh man, he's just the best.
My favorite, like, I love how, because Nance is supposedly, by a few accounts now, significantly better than he is in FIFA.
Well, by Nance's accounts, he can beat Zubac in FIFA with the Galaxy while Zubac is playing with, like, Real Madrid.
Yeah, and I think Shahan...
That was one of my favorite stories I've ever written, was I was trying to do a profile on Zubac, and Nance just comes over and starts, like, trash-talking his FIFA game.
But I think Shahan actually went along with that as well, with that as a... It was an actual truth that Nance is that much better than he is. But I could just see Zubac. Like, how many controllers do you think Zubac has broken since he's come to the NBA?
Oh, probably a few. I would imagine that Larry could be irritating with the trash talk.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Because he's witty, too. So, like, yeah. that he could probably get under your skin pretty... Like, that's not a guy you want to get into, like, a banter back and forth with.
Yeah, that would be something. And I can't believe the Lakers haven't shown that, any kind of video of those guys playing FIFA against each other. I think if Zubac was better, that would be a thing.
Yeah, get on it, Lakers Digital Media Department.
Yeah, come on, Ty. All right.
Anyway, but as far as the Nance saying that about Zubac, I don't know. This is one of those things where this is a narrative that's going to come up because it's new and it's training camp and it's whatever, but like, I am probably the biggest Zubac optimist of anyone. As far as being ready for a faster pace of play, I'm going to wait and see.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it says something about how young he was last year. Because I would imagine a lot of that 19%, well, I guess 11% body fat that he's dropped, a lot of that is probably just baby fat. You know, he was really young with the Lakers last year, and that was part of the reason why he fell in the drafts, was because teams weren't sure he would be ready to come over and play, because he said he didn't want to be a draft and stash. He wanted to come to the NBA as quickly as possible, and that forced upon him a probably quite a culture shock, not just off the court but on the court. He's thinking, man, it's always been nice to be able to just overpower guys and play through guys. Now I have to be able to keep up with these insane athletes that the NBA has on essentially every single team. I'm with you 100% that it's a wait and see kind of thing, but it would make sense that he's dropped as much weight as he has.
Yeah. I mean, but I just don't think that he's going – I don't know that weight is necessarily going to mean that they can say that, yeah, we don't need to play small ball because Zoo's so fast.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not ready to jump to that conclusion quite yet.
That would have been a fun fake news thing.
Yeah. Magic says that who needs small ball? Zubac can play point guard.
He starts calling Ivica Magic for no reason. He completely thrown.
Oh, man.
Irvin, why are you, Mr. Johnson, why you call me your name?
Okay. I don't even know how far. I totally lost my train of thought here. But we could just use this as an awkward segue into the next segment of fake news and basically the final one. We got like one more little thing after this, but so Magic Johnson says that Jordan Clarkson can win Sixth Man of the Year.
I think it's true. That's my answer. I think it's also asinine.
So that's I figured this would be kind of an easy one for you to guess, but it's something that I still wanted to talk about because I think it's another one of those things that the point of this game was to have like a more fun way to talk about these narratives and whether or not they're true or not. We did a whole show on the defense one yesterday, and then there's some of these other smaller ones where it's like some of this is going to be training camp optimism and some of this is going to be actually true. And this is one of those ones where I feel like it's more of an effort to pump Clarkson up than it is to like an actual belief that he could win Sixth Man of the Year.
Yeah, I think eventually he's going to get moved. So like Lou Williams, I think if he would have stuck out the entire year with the Lakers and if they would have come closer to the pace that they set earlier on in the year, he could have been in the running for it. But as soon as a player gets traded, it's kind of hard for them to continue to be considered for an award. I don't know if a player has ever won an award in a season where they get moved. I don't think that's ever happened before. But the thing with the six man thing is the team you're playing for has to be at least decent. And also,
that's my thing with the Lou Will stuff last year. I knew that he was never going to win it because the Lakers sucked.
Yeah, and that's why I said like if they would have, because I think at one point they were 10-10, right?
Yes, the infamous 10-10 juggernaut Lakers.
They're back, baby. But if
Showtime is back.
But if they had, you know, nobody ever would have thought that they were going to win 41 games last year. But if they would have topped, say, 32, 33, maybe Lou will get some love there. But one, he was traded. Two, they did not. And as you saw, Lou Williams, despite having a better
– three, the league was out to get the Lakers again.
Yeah, tampering across the league that they didn't. Lou Williams didn't win Sixth Man of the Year, but Lou Williams was having a better year last year than he was the year he actually won Sixth Man of the Year. If you look at the stats, you play those two seasons side by side, and Lou Williams was having a better year. Just the Lakers were terrible, and he got traded. And I don't think Jordan Clarkson is capable of the year that Lou Williams had last year. That didn't even win it.
Yeah, I think that's totally fair to say. And so that, again, that's why I think it's almost more of an effort to like, hey, let's pump Clarkson up. I kind of forgot to talk about him during my first couple public appearances. and people were like way reading into that. Like that was a thing on Twitter over the summer. Yeah. It was like, oh, Magic praised all the other young guys. It wasn't just that like Magic forgot to praise Clarkson.
could you see Pelinka writing Jordan Clarkson on Magic Johnson's palm?
No, I think Magic would at the very least write it.
Okay, so he would write it himself and he'd be like, you know, I'm really excited about Lonzo. I'm really excited about what I've seen from Julius Randle, from Zubats, from all these kids. Oh yeah, and also
Pelinka's just in the background of the scrum, just like mouthing Jordan Clarkson at him.
No, he's like pointing at his hand. Like he's on the other side of the cameras, he's just pointing at his hand, he's like, oh yeah, that's right. And Jordan Clarkson could also win sixth man of the year, Jordan
Clarkson. Yeah, I think that's more of it. It's more those things than it is an actual. I don't think that Magic actually, like, if you shot him up with truth serum, I don't think that Magic would say that Clarkson's going to win sixth man of the year.
Even Clarkson, did you see the interview that he gave on Spectrum during media day?
Yes, I did. Yeah, I did.
And they asked him, you know, Magic Johnson has talked about you winning Sixth Man of the Year. He's like, I think so. I mean, I know so. I thought it was pretty great that he caught himself there. Like, I don't think I – well, I guess I'll try.
I think that was probably more of like, I think that maybe I can start still. I don't know.
Yeah, that's possible. That's probably true too.
He probably, because NBA players are confident. They don't just like give up on the starting role. Like, I'm sure that he still thinks that he can go out there and earn it.
Yeah, no, and if he does,
I mean, he won't, he can try.
It would be a little disappointing if he does, considering what KCP is making this year.
I think KCP would have to spend the entire training camp making it rain on his teammates with his like 25 or 20 whatever million dollar contract. Mm-hmm. If he did that during every scrimmage, I think Clarkson would usurp him in their rotation. But other than that, I think it's KCP's spot.
Yep. All right. Do you have one more, or is that it?
No, that was it.
All right, so I think I went – did I go 4 for 4?
I think you got every single one right. That's got to be the first game that we've ever played where you've gotten every single one right.
Honestly, if you would have said Magic said the first one, I probably would have missed the first one.
Yeah, you know, if that's on me, I'm gonna go back. I'm gonna listen to the tape, and I'll be better next time.
Get better every day, dude. Get better.
Yeah, I'm gonna focus exclusively on questioning during my next podcast practice.
All right, everybody, this was fun. I hope everybody enjoyed it. Again, we are trying to fill this time before the Lakers finally play their first preseason game on Saturday. Can't wait for that. If we see any other big developments, as always, we'll try to record something quickly. But for right now, this is our Thursday
show. Second to last show of the week.
Yep, Thursday show. We have one more for you tomorrow. Heading into the weekend, we'll prime everybody. We'll prepare everybody for what we might have to, what we might get to see Saturday night. I'm pretty stoked. I'm actually really excited to watch these Lakers on the court together this Saturday. I'll be in Havasu as I do that, but I can't wait to watch nonetheless.
Preseason basketball. Let's get psyched.
Let's do this. Have a good one, everybody.